You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Timothy Glenn. Timothy is an author, astrologer, numerologist, and spiritual reader. He came into this life without the veils pulled all the way down. Like many of us, he never fit into the real world. Early years include music, voice, and exposure to astrology. Theatrical training and performance prepared him for a brief stint as a minister. He has done past life regression, sound healing, astrology, and now does multidimensional soul purpose readings, which I highly recommend. He has written an ebook titled The Zephyrus Archives, Volume 1, Mission of Eternity. You can find out more on his website at www.soulpurposereadings.com. So let's welcome Timothy back to the show now. Hi, Timothy. How are you?
Ready.
You're ready. Oh, boy, that sounds good. Your motors are all tuned up, and you're ready to go.
That's right.
Well, then, where do you want to take us tonight? Because you're ready.
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right.
Well, there's all kinds of places we can go.
Right.
But we can start off with something that's kind of amusing.
Okay.
Now, you know who Neil deGrasse Tyson is?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. He recently posted something that he was very concerned about all the fuzzy thinking going on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, plenty of fuzzy thinking. And we had a classic example online when we had the eclipse. And the flat earthers, some of the flat earthers got in on this one. Somebody started saying, you know, hey, man, they're lying to us about everything. Everything's fake. Nothing's what they tell us it is. You know, the sun goes from east to west, and yet the eclipse goes from west to east. This is all bogus, man. This is kind of fuzzy thinking. First of all, now, in case people don't realize it, both the moon and the sun travel through our sky east to west.
Okay.
Now, have you ever had the experience that it's after dark? Yeah, you know, sun's been down for a couple hours, and then you have the moon rise in the east.
Okay. Yes, I'm sure I have.
Okay. Yeah, many times, yeah.
Yeah.
And then when you come out in the morning, sun's up, and you look, and the moon is only about three-quarters of the way through the sky. It's still up there in the west. Okay. Now, just by that, which one travels faster through our sky, the sun or the moon?
Well, it would appear that the moon would.
Well, no, actually, you got it backwards. Sorry.
I mean, yes, the sun would probably
be the
correct
answer. Yeah, the sun travels faster through our sky than the moon does.
Right.
Okay? Now, the moon comes up in the east. The sun comes up pretty much right behind it and starts casting a shadow onto the earth. All right? Now, the sun is farther to the east, shining the light, which is now farther to the west, which means the shadow is going to fall in the west.
Okay.
And so as the sun catches up to the moon, it's going to be moving that shadow eastward. So that when the sun passes the moon, it's going to be east. Right?
Okay.
Okay. And so, people were saying this was proof of a flat earth. Yeah. Anyway, fuzzy thinking, but we have had some recent events. It's been quite wild. As we were talking earlier about all the storms and the earthquakes, volcanoes, and so forth, It's rock and roll time for planet Earth.
Yes, it does seem to be that way. And with all the volcanoes being triggered, there's also there are quite a few people who are mentioning there are, like, trumpet sounds or sounds that are being made that they don't understand what they are. And so I posted a clip from the movie War of the Worlds, where the Martians come up from the, underneath the ground, and they make that noise. It goes, boom, boom, something like that. And it sounds just like the sound that they're making. So I thought, well, that's got to be it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, that's the answer. But anyway, so there are strange sounds being heard, and I wonder when we hear sounds if they are natural or made. And, of course, there's speculation that it's Project Bluebeam, because a lot of people are looking to that, as Wernher von Braun said before he died at NASA, or died while he was working at NASA, that would be the last trick that would be pulled out of the hat, was Project Bluebeam and an artificial alien war. So they have the technology to do that, of course, and it will be interesting to see what kind of things that will be pulled out of the magician's hat.
Well, yeah, you know, they have the ability with holograms now to do all kinds of really impressive things.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, if we go back to, like, the early 90s, remember the book Bringers of the Dawn?
Oh, yeah, with Barbara Marciniak.
Exactly, right. They had even talked about it in that it's going to come to the point where
they're
pulling off all these stunts using holograms to make people believe that this scenario is actually happening.
Well, you know, some go so far as to say that we are in a hologram, that this is a holographic projection itself.
I'll go that far.
Yeah. Okay, I have thought about this. Let's talk about this for a minute, because if this is a holographic projection, then there has to be a point from which it is being projected, where the real people or the real entities or civilization or whatever is sourcing this projection, right?
Yes and no.
Yes and no. Okay.
I would say yes. However, if we're thinking this is just a hologram and nothing but the hologram, that's where the Proterians would differ.
Right.
And the Proterians would say, yes, we are actually in the natural universe. We are just prevented from perceiving it as it really is,
right,
because of the projected hologram, which distorts our vision of it.
Right. And it's projected over the reality, which is the natural, organic reality that we can't seem to perceive because of the limitation of our senses.
Yes, because of that synthetic overlay.
Right, the synthetic overlay. Good, we agree on that.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and speaking of the Proterians, I just thought I would toss this out here. I made a decision yesterday. How dangerous does that sound?
Oh my gosh, you made a decision?
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and tell you right now. And since there are people listening, this really puts the pressure on me. I'm gonna commit.
All right. Okay.
I should be committed.
The rubber's gonna hit the road.
Okay. I was talking on the phone with Laura Bruno a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And she made a suggestion.
Oh.
That suggestion has been bouncing around in my head, and it's like, okay, that's a brilliant suggestion.
Huh.
And what she suggested, she said, well, why don't you sit down and gather up the very best pieces of the Proterian channelings throughout the years and just put them in a book?
Oh, yes. Yes, that is an excellent suggestion.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here with a pile of CDs. It's over 40 hours worth of Proterian channelings right here.
Well, you know, and I have quite a few of those myself.
Yeah, you have some of those, yeah.
And at one point, I was considering transcribing them, and I periodically consider that, as I did the Galactic History material.
Yeah, that seems a bit tedious.
It is tedious.
Yeah. I would not want to impose that on you.
Thank you.
And I also dug out some other channelings, which were not public channelings, but they were writings from 1999.
Nice.
Dug that out, and I was going through some old boxes, because it's like time to, you know, clean up, downsize, and
I'm doing the same thing.
Yeah. And in a box full of CDs and old cassettes, believe it or not, yeah, good old audio cassettes, I found like a dozen cassettes of Proterian channelings from the mid-90s.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did you listen to any?
Not yet.
That'd be interesting to see what the changes or the differences were in the older channelings and the newer ones. Probably more humor.
Well, the humor was always there.
Right. But there would have to be something that you would notice would be different.
I think the thing that would be most different is that in the early channelings, the Proterians were just playing along with whatever the Earthlings were thinking, you know, just to stimulate them to wake up and you know, let's wake up, let's evolve, let's mm-hmm. go from point A mm-hmm. to point B. And so they came out with all kinds of wild things just to stimulate the people.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the later channelings, they were like much more what we would call down to earth. You know, much more fact-oriented, et cetera.
Well, they do. That's what they do, isn't it? Is they go to various planetary systems, and they their form of fun is to kind of throw a monkey wrench into the old paradigms and help the civilization to evolve.
Yes.
Without getting their fingers in the mix.
Right. But they have a good time with it, and see, they like to chide us into unfolding and evolving.
Why, how do they do that?
Well, you've listened to them.
What is a chide that they might have said in the past about Earthlings?
Actually, there was one of the recordings, there was a woman in the audience who just was using this as a you know, an excuse to unload her stuff. So she's asking her questions about her drama and just going on about it and just totally into her drama. And of course, the Proterians are not going to buy into any of it. And they were giving their smart-ass responses and so forth. And finally, she just said, well, then why did I go through all of this? And the Proterian said, because you're an idiot.
Oh, geez. Because you're an idiot. Well, that is a very simple reply.
Yes. That's how they like to chide us.
Yes, well, they do get chidey.
Yes, they do.
And Buddha might say, well, it is because you are too attached to your emotions, and you must release them. Non-attachment is the way.
Well, yes, Buddha did say that all of our suffering here comes from attachment.
Attachments, yes. And if you release your attachments to things, then there's no real, then the suffering that exists is real suffering and not unnecessary suffering.
Yeah. You know, there was, in fact, there were a couple times. There was once back in the 90s and one about 10 years or so ago, and the Proterians asked if the people really want to understand the key to the whole thing and how they could shift it all and they could do mm-hmm. it right now. And, of course, they wanted to do it, and the audience was all excited. And they said all it takes is complete mental and emotional body detachment from all persons, places, things, and specific outcomes. and all the air went out of their tires.
Right. Right.
The enthusiasm was high. Oh, give us the secret. Oh, no, not that.
Not that. We can't do that. That takes work, and it takes the lifetime, you know, a lifetime of work.
Yeah, well, at least in the old illusions of the Matrix here.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, okay. So I have been tuning into some various sources that I highly respect, and the consensus reality for those people who are kind of on the cutting edge, I guess, is that we are in a harvest period, and that it started, or well, you can say it started in 2012, but some say it starts in 2017, this year, and goes for 7 or 10 years. So in any case, what the agreed upon bottom line is that we are in the end times, or a harvest period. And so this is the time when everything comes to a head and we have an opportunity to review our lives and our shadows and process our internal workings and release them and so on and so forth. So it is. It does also seem to be a time when many truths come out and revelations are going to be hitting the screen of our perceptions. How do you feel about that?
Well, if you recall a recent article, in fact, it might have even been the New Year's article that I wrote, which I finally wrote like in May or something.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I gave the analogy of we've been living inside an egg, and the egg is cracking.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like the alleged reality we've been in is going to be cracking, and it's like we're going to be able to see through the cracks.
Yes.
And be able to perceive the natural universe as it actually exists.
Yes. And that's what brings us back to what we were talking about, the projection of the hologram, that we will be able to see through the hologram and see what's really there.
Yes, which is why the system is really stepping up its game of distraction.
Right. And how do you think it's distracting us, other than the usual presidential things and the North Koreans and
all the other dog and pony shows, right?
Yeah, right, the dog and pony show, yes.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's really the same old thing.
Right, right.
Because these beings are not creative.
Right.
And as David Icke once said, these people are nothing if not predictable.
Right. They have a certain game plan and or game board, and that's pretty much what they follow. I mean, they don't seem to vary as much. The only thing that is surprising is that they're way ahead of us in terms of knowing. So,
well, that's because they've been running the game here.
Right, right. They're running. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, and so they know that if they can keep the people distracted from, first of all, themselves.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, don't realize who and what you truly are. Be distracted by all this external nonsense, all of the drama, and like, well, you mentioned the presidential stuff. Oh, please, come on, people, can't you do better than this? Oh, God, come on.
Yeah, I mean, the comedians would have a field day with it, especially the ones that are dead now. What was the blonde's name, that the Jewish lady?
I do not. Oh, wait a minute.
She'd say, oh, please, you know?
I don't remember. I don't
anyway,
remember.
She was pretty sharp-mouthed.
Like a Phyllis Diller or somebody?
Yeah, except she was a Jewish gal, and she had a daughter, and she's one
oh,
of the
Joan Rivers?
Yes, Joan Rivers.
Okay, yeah. Recently
yeah, we
assassinated,
love
her. Yes.
But I also loved, Phyllis Diller, because she was quite an intelligent woman. And, you know, I watched a biography about her, and she's a fascinating person, and she had a mind that was just absolutely brilliant. And you see her up on the stage, and you make certain opinions about her, but she was quite intelligent. She knew what she was doing, and she knew every part. She was just really a wise woman, and I have the deepest respect for her, and she did a wonderful job of entertaining us and keeping us distracted and also informing us, because comedy is a way of informing us.
Well, if they're doing actual informed humor.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right, and I think that the artificial intelligence, or whatever it is that's monitoring everything, probably doesn't quite yet grasp humor and subtlety and irony and things like that.
Well, no, it doesn't seem to have a good sense of humor.
Well, right. It's not very funny, is it?
Yeah. No, and that's why the system can't stand or deal with the humor. Like, if it gets ridiculed, it can't deal with it. And a lot of people have found that, you know, on their YouTube channels or wherever else, that they will get censored and things will get taken down if it's really good satire on the system.
Oh, yes, yes.
If they're doing factual stuff, that can stay up, but if they're doing really effective satire, that stuff gets taken down because the system can't deal with it.
Yes, yes.
But back to harvest time.
Okay, good.
Yes, also, you know, on another level, you know, bring that word in, you know, it's like, okay, we have been farmed for a long, long time.
Correct.
And on farms, you occasionally have harvest time.
Correct.
And we have the ancient writings that talk about the harvest of souls.
Yes.
Yeah, doesn't that kind of like bother people? You know, even like in the New Agey community here, that, oh, it's the time of the harvest of souls. And it's like, uh-oh. Oh, dear.
It is rather bothersome.
Well, to those of us who realize what has been going on and what is still going on, that's like, oh, my God, people falling right into the trap. But that's okay. If others insist on going down with the ship of the old system, that's okay. It's no problem. It's just time for us to let them go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, speaking of that, I went to a restaurant tonight because I had some time on my hands. It was the Jack Russell Brewery because I have a Jack Russell dog. And so I went in and I haven't been in a restaurant in ages, and the sound and the noises and the sports bar TVs that were up and the it was just so damn loud. You just could not. It was like listening to Niagara Falls. Only Niagara Falls is beautiful because it's not words.
Right.
And I found myself stuffing food down my face so I could get out of there.
And actually, you take a beating in that kind of an environment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, it just seems like everybody was unconscious.
Well, they are.
And, you know, and of course, I'm not so awake that I can sense, you know, who's awake and who isn't. But, and there could be some awake people there, and maybe things are happening the way they're supposed to. But as far as I could tell, people were pretty much just manifesting, and most of it was just unnecessary talk, gossip, you know, judgment, you know, just a bunch of junk. And there was even one little boy with glasses who had the loudest voice, and it was high-pitched, and he was running at the whole table of his family. And he was standing on the lap of one of the people there, and he was just, I mean, literally, his voice was like, it was like somebody had a dummy, you know, in his lap, and this dummy was just really irritating. And he ran the show. I mean, he's going to be probably somebody that's very powerful someday. But,
we'll see.
Yeah, well, he might end up like Donald Trump. Real power.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
It's interesting that people think that's power. Oh, well.
Oh, yeah, right. And that's another thing. You know, all the people that believe in the, you know, in the system, and that if you don't vote, you're, you know, copping out. Well, it's really a system of that's been taken over long, long ago. And there is no real choice involved in those situations, you know, Republicans, Democrats, liberals, whatever. It's all a dog and pony show, like you said earlier. And George Carlin, and speaking of another comedian, used to talk about it all the time.
Well, sure. He said that the elections are only held to give you the illusion that you have choice.
Mm-hmm.
Because in America, the only real choice you have is paper or plastic.
Right. And now you have to pay for it.
Yeah. So, yeah, the elections. Yeah, of course, now your vote is sabotaged long before you cast it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the same financial interests own and operate both of those parties.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And most people, I mean, the people listening to this show know that. But, you know, a lot of people in the world are unaware.
Yeah, and even people who listen to shows like this, they still get caught up in it.
Yes, yeah.
And it's like they're explaining why they voted the way they did, and it's like, no, your emotional body made that decision decades ago.
Right.
You haven't gotten out of the old illusions, the old attachments.
Right.
And you're still caught up on one side of that phony left-right paradigm.
Right. The duality. Yeah. And that's unconscious behavior.
That sure is.
Yeah, I mean, that's how we go about life. According to Gurdjieff, we're basically unconscious, and the only choice we have is to try to become more conscious and to wake up before we actually cross over. But there's so much denial about death that we don't allow ourselves to think about what might happen or what happens. And, you know, those esoteric problems like spirituality and, you know, is there a soul and a spirit and a etheric body and an astral body and emotional body and so on and so forth just don't cross most people's minds.
That's because they're lost in the illusions of the Matrix.
Right. Do you think that there will be any kind of shaking up that will occur that will disturb the Matrix sleepers?
Well, I can see things happening that will shake things up, whether or not they use that opportunity for greater awakening, or if they choose to take another blue pill, you know, that's up to them.
Right.
Hey, man, I need a double dose of the blue pill, man.
Give me that cocktail.
Well, look at what's happening. This is freaking me out, my reality. Oh, my God, give me three blue pills.
Right.
And that's okay. You know, they're just, you know, it's like in the Matrix film, you know, they're so hopelessly inured. They're so dependent on the system. And, you know, their vision is just so limited.
Mm, yes.
It's like they have this undying faith in death. It's like this whole Matrix thing. God, the lack, the limitation, the struggle, and they think in such tiny terms, like they are nothing but this little humanoid thing. Mm-hmm. That's all they think they are, but they are the field. But they've lost their ability to see or feel the infinite field.
Right.
But if you've got a feel for it, and you know that you are the field, it shifts everything.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and how many of those people would they identify as nothing but human? And also, remember in the beginning of the first Matrix film, when Neo was first undergoing his training with Morpheus, it's like, is this real? You know, he was experiencing himself as the Neo in the Matrix, as he had remembered himself, because Morpheus said, you know, this is residual self-image.
Oh, yes, I remember.
How do you identify yourself? Now, let's say people come out of this reality, whether it's through death or whatever, how would they identify with themselves? You know, do you think of yourself as nothing but this human? Most people would do that.
Yes.
But then you think of, you know, people like us, or like our friend Anelia Benz. Do you think that she would identify exclusively as the human Anelia Benz?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I rather doubt it.
Right. It's like most of us don't identify primarily as the humanoid.
Right. In fact, if anything, I consider this to be the unreal. There is no Lance, really. In a sense, there is, but there isn't. And the real Lance doesn't have a name and is not here in this seat talking to you right now, although part of him may be, you know, providing some of the dialogue. But, you know, in a sense, I don't exist. And there was a wonderful movie made about people who came from the future, and it was called Disaster in Time. And they considered, they went back in time and watched major events that were disasters, and so they were kind of like disaster groupies, and they found that they could do that as long as they didn't change anything. They could go back and watch, you know, asteroids falling and, you know, blowing up part of the planet. And they considered us bygoners, because in their time field, we were dead and buried hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of years prior. And yet, you know, they were in our timescape watching the disasters. So it's an interesting thought to think that we may be bygoners.
Well, on a level, yes. Because on another level, what is this? You know, it's like, okay, we're in the field of infinite possibilities. And what we're experiencing now is one of the infinite possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing we call life here is just reflecting, like the real Lance is reflecting on this one of the infinite possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And when the real Lance is once again, or the little Lance is once again experiencing himself as the big Lance, the real Lance.
Yeah.
Yeah, this won't be a big deal. It's like, you know, the analogy Proterian gives is it would be nothing but a pixel in the background of the picture of your life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we might say that the picture of the Lance X number of time periods from now, well, that Lance, you know, is, you know, the great cosmic being, and this Lance who's talking on the phone right now is nothing but one pixel in the photograph of the big Lance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Yeah, so anyway, and these people, you know, out here who have chosen the blue pill, it's okay, you know, because everything and everybody is part of that infinite energy field. And eventually, they'll all wake up to that, and it's not up to us to determine when, where, and how they come into that awakening. It's simply that we have chosen this time to awaken and to transcend the illusions of this matrix. And to the controllers, maybe we'll just be those who slipped through the cracks and so what.
Right, right. Right. Yeah. Well, a part of me, of course, doesn't like that idea, but...
Well, that's our attachment, right?
Right, that is a so what. You know, that's my that's my attachment, yeah.
Yeah, but but if we truly transcend the illusions that we're still living with here, mm-hmm. then we'll come to the point we'll have the vision, we'll have the wisdom, we'll have the understanding that it would no longer bother us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And those souls can continue the comedy show. And remember, to the Proterians, this is Comedy Central.
Yes.
We are Intergalactic Comedy Central. The number one hit show is the Earthling Show. And not only to them is it like major slapstick comedy here, but the funniest thing is we think it's real.
Right, right, right. Right, and we're taking it all so seriously.
Yeah.
And fighting and arguing and protesting and trying to change things and do this and do that, but there is no doing, really.
Right, and of course, now you notice in all of this, it's people making up rules that they want to enforce on other people.
Right, right. Right,
yeah.
And it's just a game of, you know, replacing one person's rules with another person's rules, and those are just as equally inhibiting as the ones that were there before, if not worse.
Yeah, it's like right now in this country, the big thing is let's make up the rules. Okay, you have to stand on your head during the national anthem.
Yeah, that was funny.
Whatever.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, people just looking for excuses to get bunged up about things.
Right, right.
And maybe lighten up, kids.
Right, because, you know, there is, there's no reason to sweat the small stuff. And as the guy that wrote that book said, it's all small stuff.
Yep, that's right.
And so you might as well laugh about it because it's, you know, it's a comedy of errors.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's like life is one big typo here.
Well, except that the monkeys can type, you know, Shakespeare's sonnets eventually.
Yeah. I wonder if that would include the quotes that are attributed to Shakespeare that he never wrote.
Right. And who was Shakespeare in the first place?
Right. Was that actually Francis Bacon?
We don't know.
Right.
There's much that we know for facts that is real. You know, that's one thing I'm coming to.
Well, it's like the difference between fact and truth.
Right, right.
Fact is nothing but the way data stacks up in the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas truth is the universal energy of that which is.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little different.
Mm.
But as we go through these end times, the harvest times, or whatever we want to call them, in this massive shift of the ages, et cetera, you know, we have all these things that we're still experiencing in our reality that, shall we say, fail to resonate with us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, so all we need to do is look inside of ourselves and find where have we given permission for this to be in our reality? Where have we given permission? Where have we acquiesced? Where have we knuckled under and compromised our own integrity and our own creatorship so that we allow this kind of rubbish to even dominate our reality?
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we begin to take our power back. Because we realize we've scattered our divine essence all over the place, and maybe it's time to get our act together again, huh?
And pull those parts back into ourselves.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
See, as the great cosmic body of the great cosmic being we really are, like, it got all dismembered, so now it's time to get remembered.
Right, right. And that's one of the Gurdjieff's big recurring statements is you have to remember yourself.
Yes.
Remember.
Yes. And, of course, then that brings us right back to the residual self-image is how do you primarily identify yourself? Mm-hmm. Most of the people on the planet think they are nothing but whatever this little humanoid is that they're playing this round of the game in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm Bob. You know, whatever. And so, you know, they, of course, are incessantly distracted by all of this stuff out there, and they're distracted from the soul essence that they really are.
Right.
And simply being an expression of the field. You know, Rumi had put it beautifully. He said, you know, you are something to the effect of you are not merely a drop in the ocean. You are the ocean in a drop.
Oh, right. Yes. I like
you are
that.
Not, right. You are not merely a part of the whole. You are the whole expressing as a part.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And wasn't there a poem about a grain of sand that kind of went along similar lines?
Oh, that was William Blake.
Yeah.
To hold infinity in the palm of your hand, all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yes, if we would only remember, you know, that's a start. But, you know, it's all our consciousness, but in our consciousness, then, there's our motivation. What is really motivating us? And if you look out here and the people who are so bunged up about the political stuff, they are so gung-ho to enforce their rules and regulations on everybody else, and they're always protesting and fighting something or somebody else. That's not coming from a space of the infinite, divine, unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
And so so many of these New Agey people who've been talking about this for years, they're all bunged up about this stuff, and it's like, hey, where did the love go?
Yeah, thank you.
what's the deal, guys? I mean, here's one that I think is very amusing, and this is for all my lefty friends out there who are stuck on the left side of that phony left-right paradigm, the anti-Trump crowd. Okay, and you wonder why they don't notice there's cognitive dissonance in their heads. Okay, here's what I hear from so many of these people: love Trump's hate. I hate Trump. Love Trump's hate. I hate Trump. Love Trump's hate. I hate Trump.
<It's>
over yourselves, guys.
Well, maybe he was put in that position just to be a major distraction for everybody.
Well, he's certainly part of the show.
Well, yes. Yes, definitely part of the show.
Yeah, but we did talk about this last time I was on. Remember, I had pegged it right at the beginning of the primary season that he was not only going to win the nomination, but he was going to win the general election in November.
Mm-hmm.
That was back in 2015 when I had said that. Because I could see it all. It was all right in the charts, you know. It was right there. In fact, when he had first announced his candidacy, I laughed because, you know, I've never owned a television, so I don't know all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I just laughed. I thought, oh, God, that's funny. But then, you know, people were saying, no, this is serious. And I thought, okay, whatever. So I listened to one of his speeches. I thought, oh, that's interesting. Okay. So, and he is serious. All right. And people are taking him seriously. Okay. Uh-huh. So then I looked at his chart, and I thought, oh, well, this could happen. Okay, very cool. Now, the people who are actually the best at predicting down-to-earth events are the Vedic astrologers in India.
Oh, okay.
They are terrific. In fact, the earliest Vedic writings had nothing to do with human personality traits and so forth. It was nothing but predictive work. It was all about events. So, of course, we have Vedic astrologers over here in America, but you know, they're, you know, still influenced by whatever belief systems are into as Americans. So thanks to the Internet, we can go all over the world. So I went over to India via the Internet. And sure enough, the Vedic astrologers were saying, well, you know, he's coming into the, you know, this, you know, Jupiter Mahadasha, you know, nobody's going to beat that. And so they were just saying right out there, okay, he's going to win this thing. And so then I went deeper. I went into the secondary progression chart in our astrological system and did the name progression in the numerology. It was like, God, it's written all over the place. So I gave him a 99.999% chance of winning.
Wow.
And the reason I didn't say 100% is because I knew, especially with Pluto opposing the Sun in the American chart, that and I knew the Bush-Clinton crime machine would have the steel on. Mm-hmm. I gave them a really, really wild card shot at pulling off the steel. And according to Stanford research, they did steal 5 states from Trump.
Oh.
Yes, they did, including the one I'm sitting in right now.
Wow.
Yes. They stole 13 from Bernie Sanders during the primaries. And see, that's where the elections are really rigged, because it's easy for the parties to rig the primaries.
Mm-hmm.
So they determine who the candidates are. And we're back to the, you know, way up at the top, it's all the same people pulling the strings on both parties. And it's like, okay, your choice is asshole A or asshole B. It's your choice, America. You decide.
Mm-hmm.
and they have selected because both candidates because they own and operate the whole thing. You know, it's
Yeah, exactly. The whole dog and pony show is their little personal, you know, creation.
Yeah, and you know, and say another little fun one is you come up with all kinds of interesting factoids when you do research, and like the people who are on the right side of that, who are like, you know, the constitutionalists and so forth. You know, it's like, okay, well, where did the Constitution? You know, these people who created the Constitution, where did they get their authority to do that? Okay, well, that was the Continental Congress. Okay, well, who chartered them? How did they get the authority to be the Congress to do that? Okay, that came from the King of England. Okay, fine. Go to the King of England. Where does he get his authority? Okay, the kings get their authority from a Roman Catholic doctrine called the Divine Right of Kings. So if you trace back the legal authority of the U.S. Constitution, it's the Roman Catholic doctrine, the Divine Right of Kings.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And who wrote the Divine Right of Kings? The kings?
Some pope.
Oh, the pope, right, of course.
Yeah, delegating powers, you know.
Right, right. He seems to have his hand in, or they seem to have their hands in a lot of pies.
Oh, they sure do. And now you notice there are 3 independent city-states that run things. There's the Vatican, which is an independent city-state in the city of Rome. And then there's the city of London, which is housed in Greater London, but is an independent city-state. And then there's Washington, D.C. not one of the 50 states, not in any one of the 50 states. So they are independent city-states. And it's interesting that in this country, if you want to get documentation, let's say that you want to form whatever kind of organization you have, and you want diplomatic status. You go through all these hoops in the United States, and you get approved by the United States government that you're going to have diplomatic status now. Well, it's not over, because it has to be approved by the City of London.
Mm.
It has to go over, and the Crown has to put the stamp of approval on it. And you're still not done, because after that's finished, it has to go to the Vatican for final approval.
Mm-hmm.
Then
mm-hmm.
you will have international diplomatic status.
Well, behind all of these facades, aren't there reptilians and Dracos and Greys and other forms of aliens that have their hand in the pie?
They sure are the ones running the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the same old game. And so why get bunged up about it?
Right. Right, exactly.
And the thing is, the so-called dark side really only has one power, and that's the power of deception.
Mm-hmm.
And the Proletarians have talked about this a lot, you know, for decades. You know, some people can see that as being two powers, you know, but one is internal. They have the power of deceiving themselves mm-hmm. into believing they're nothing but these nasty little critters.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're not part of the field. They are not this vast cosmic being that they truly are. And so they can deceive themselves into that. They believe they are just this nasty little whatever.
Right.
All right. And then externally, they have the power of deception because they can fool us into thinking they have power.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if we believe they have power over us, we just gave them the power by believing that.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, that is how it works.
And that's the game. So why are these people so bunged up about what some football players are doing during a song? Like, gee, can't you reprioritize, kids? Come on.
Mm. Well, it's more fodder for the Proletarians to write comedy about.
Well, yeah. They love to make fun of the Earthlings.
What is it they say about us that there's a line from them that I always find funny?
Well, I know many, many lines from them, so.
Well, we're almost at the end of the show, so why don't you conjure one up to take us out?
A line from the Proletarians, huh? Oh, dear. Oh, the dear Proletarians. Okay, conjure. I'm not conjuring. Well, I need a magic wand here. Description of Earthlings? Oh, dear. God, there are so many, and I can't think of any right now.
Okay.
Sorry,
I'm
just drawing a blank.
Well, you know what? That's live radio.
That's
proves.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you threw me a curve at the end, and I just dropped the ball. Okay.
Yeah, I've dropped the ball so many times I've lost count.
Yeah.
You know, during a show. So I like that when that happens, because the listeners know that this is real. This is live, you know.
Yeah.
Werner Erhard said, life is fired at us point blank. It's not a dress rehearsal. And
right.
So I think a lot of people think that this is kind of something we do as a dress rehearsal for living, and that, you know, we will really live afterwards, or we'll die and nothing happens. And so we're kind of convinced that there's nothing to do except to live this life and accumulate as much as we can, more than anyone else. And anyway,
anyway,
I want you to take us out.
Okay, I just came up with one here.
Oh, good.
One of our favorites is, thou art God. Now act like it.
Very good. Very good. Well, Tim, we are at the end of another show. But can you believe that? And the beginning of another moment.
Yes, and leaving the show, I'll go back to where we were earlier, and that is, I put it out here over the airwaves, I'm going to put together this Protarian book.
Yes, and I will hold you to that.
Okay, hold on.
Because I think that would be a wonderful contribution.
Cool.
Yeah, there's a wealth of wisdom from the Protarians, and I would love to see it, and I'll even empower you to get book sales by having you on the show to talk about it, because it'll be interesting.
Cool. And I'll send you bits and pieces
as
I go.
Yeah. And if you want, I'll edit it.
Sample chapters and all that good stuff.
Well, thank you again, Tim. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I think you're probably one of my favorite guests by now. And I love your Soul Purpose readings. All that information is on the blurb here on BBS Radio, how to get in touch with you. And I think you're the best.
Thank you.
So, thank you so much for coming back, and we'll talk to you again in the near future.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Good night, everybody.